Hear the witness of the word. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12.
You are listening to Christian Radio.
Christian Radio.
It's time now to gather around for the Expounder Ministries radio Bible teaching program, Walking in Simplicity, with your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn. Brother Stephen, an ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, welcomes you to a time of prayer and ministry of the Word. At the close of today's program, an address will be given to contact Brother Stephen. And now, let's seek the Lord for a taste of that wonderful manna that can only come from God's Holy Scriptures.
Hallelujah to God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation from the Holy One of Israel, from the One who is the way, the truth, and the life, from the One who only brings salvation, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, we declare that we love you today, and that you are our God. The God of Israel, the God of the Holy Bible, the God of the Old Testament and New, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of King David, Peter, and Paul, and all the apostles. You alone are God. You alone are Judge. You are Creator. You are Master. You are Savior. You are the living God. You are that bread that came down from heaven, and your name is holy, and you are the great I am. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, to the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen, and today we are going to talk about repentance for both the saved and the unsaved, those who are not born again of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the unregenerate, the one who is already on their way to hell, for the wrath of God already abides on them, if they are not born again of Jesus. So for the unbeliever, it is a simple thing. Come unto the Father, the God of Israel, by the Lamb of God, Jesus, who lived and died on a cross, who was buried without sin, shedding his own blood for the remission of sins. He descended into the lower parts of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, preaching unto the souls that were down there. And he rose again from the dead in righteousness. And he was seen of men for many days. And he ascended up unto God, where he sits on the right hand of God Almighty, ever living to make intercession for us. So for those who are unsaved, unregenerate, they must be drawn by the Father unto the Lord Jesus. Jesus also draws many unto himself. They must come to him contrite and confessing their sins. They must be drawn by the Spirit. They must acknowledge that they need a Savior and that they believe in the Savior. And then he alone is the one who makes them born again. In Christianity, there is no converting to it. There is no deciding to join. It is something between you and God alone. He washes you. He enters your physical body, his spirit, in your actual body, being born again of his spirit, your dead spirit, being made alive by his living spirit. And then once a man or woman is born again of his spirit and has become a new creation, which only happens at God's command and by God's will, then your Judeo-Christian journey begins, where you understand what God did for you in the Old Testament, what he did for you in the New Testament, how he alone is the one who is the Savior. He alone is the one that permits you to go up into heaven. And if you do not have this, or if you do not receive him, then the wrath of God already abides upon you. All people who are adults who die without the Lord Jesus Christ automatically descend into the fires of hell. This is why evangelism and witnessing and promoting the Christian way is so important, reaching the lost so they can hear the words of the Bible, the words of faith, so they can be drawn by the Father unto Jesus, unto salvation. So there is initial repentance by those who are coming unto God. But we all know, my beloved, by the Bible and by our own Christian experience, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including believers, including those who are born again, even those walking in the Spirit from time to time commit sin. And if you say you do not sin, you make him a liar, for he has already said that all have sinned. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the scriptures today and talk about repentance, talk about the importance of allowing God to clean you, of allowing God to forgive and wash you of your sins on a regular basis, if not every day. Now, there is popular doctrine out there of once saved, always saved. And then there is Calvinism, Reformed theology. But my beloved brothers and sisters, what do the scriptures actually say? That is more important than doctrines that are contrived of men. So let us go to now, my beloved, the scriptures of God, and maybe we can learn from them the importance of not only initial repentance, but daily repentance, that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us clean and helps keep us sanctified unto the Father. For the things that were written aforetime, the Apostle Paul said, were written for our learning, especially the scriptures of the Old Testament. Many stories there, many good examples, and we see how God dealt with those people of that day as they looked forward to the coming of Messiah, Mashiach, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So my beloved brothers and sisters, there may be people who are listening that do not know the Old Testament. They may not know that Jesus on the cross and his shed blood remits the sin of all. But what they don't know even before that is God set a pattern in the Old Testament as a covering of sin, not a taking away, but a year-by-year covering of sin until the Lord Jesus Christ shed his innocent blood. So the practice that God had them do in the Old Testament was real, was good, and it was honest, and it was appropriate, and it was the way to cover them until the blood of the Lamb of God washed away all sin that was past. So as a mini Bible lesson, my beloved, let us go to Exodus chapter 29, verse 38 and onward. Now I would ask that you be patient in the reading of this word, for I only have 5 scriptures to share, but they are lengthy, so that we can get a proper understanding of the depths of sin, how bad it is, what God did for us to remedy it, and the seriousness of it, of which we see now in our current day, as the great falling away from the faith is already well in progress. But for those who may be listening that do not remember or know about the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, let me read a few passages to help us all with understanding. Exodus 29, verse 38 and onward. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb shall be offered in the morning, and the other lamb shall be offered at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine, for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, or meaning the evening time, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, before the Lord, where I will meet with you, to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, with the tabernacle, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, there was a specific way that the priests were to sanctify themselves before the Lord and before they could minister on behalf of the people. First, they had to sanctify themselves 7 days. Then they were able to stand in the tabernacle area and receive the offerings of the people who brought their lambs, goats, cattle, turtle doves, their offerings unto God, their meat offering, their drink offering, their free will offerings, their sin offerings, their trespass offerings. And since God has said that the life is in the blood, that is why they had to sacrifice the animals to shed their blood on the altar as a temporary covering of sin day by day and year by year until the fullness comes, which was the Lamb of God Jesus upon the cross. But when it was done in true repentance and the people mourned for their sins and they brought their best offering unto God, the lamb without blemish, without spot, and it was sacrificed in their stead, it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. He would smell the offering. He would receive it because it was offered with the life of the blood of the animal instead of the life and the blood of the human who had sinned. So it was a substitute, but it couldn't fully take away all sin. It was only to cover them and to sanctify them day by day and year by year until the Lord Jesus came. Now also in Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1 and onward, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and they shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priests, and he shall take there at his hand of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. So this represented the substance of the people, oil and flour, frankincense, and it is offered from the people, from their substance, as a free will offering, for a meat offering, for a drink offering unto the Lord, a sacrifice made by them, and God received it, and as it was burned, it was a sweet savor in God's nostrils, because they came in repentance, sorrow of sin. They knew that they did not obey properly, or their behavior was amiss, so they brought their sacrifice, that which costed them, in material substance, either by the animals that were approved, or by the approved substances of the meat or drink offering. So this is what they did in the Old Testament from the beginning of Moses up until the time of Jesus Christ. These things were contained in the law of Moses, the sacrifice, a covering of sin. So by this understanding, we now have a better idea of all the work that Jesus did on the cross, the way he lived his life, the way he gave himself up to the Father as a living sacrifice on our behalf. But what happens when people fall away, when they no longer walk with the Lord, when they decide by their free will that they want to be lukewarm or they don't want to follow anymore? What happens to them? Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, before we get to the New Testament and before we start talking about the grace of God, let us know one thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. What happened in Isaiah 1? What was the vision that God gave unto him when God was enumerating many judgments unto his people through the prophet Isaiah? Let us read about it and let us have fear before him, because repentance is one thing. Sorrow of heart is one thing, but falling away is so serious. Verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, my beloved, this prophecy is unto the first covenant people of Judah and Jerusalem, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, God's covenant people. Yes, we are under the new covenant. Some will say the covenant of grace. But does that exonerate sin? Does that wink at sin? Let us read how God handled the sinful backsliders in the Old Testament. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Yisrael doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint for the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, when God describes his people, his very own covenant people, he uses terms like evildoers, iniquitous, a sinful nation, rebellious. The dumb animals know their owner in their own place, but his nation doesn't know their place. And God brought judgment upon Yisrael and had all the enemies of God and surrounding nations come against them to war with them because of their rebellion, their disobedience, their disdain of God's word and his morals. And eventually in the time of Jeremiah, the Lord brought Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to take them captive and to empty out Israel for 70 years to let the land rest from all their sinning. Verse 9 goes on to say, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, this is a stern rebuke to the people of God. Before time, when repentance was honest, when it was sincere, when there was sorrow of heart for the deeds done, the words spoken, they brought their offerings with a pure heart, hoping in God to be forgiven, and they had faith that the offering they gave was a true covering of their sins by the blood of the sacrifice that God had called for. But over time, they were just going through the motions. Well, I've sinned. Now I've got to bring a lamb. Now I've got to bring something. But they weren't pricked of heart. They weren't convinced that they were doing wrong. They must have just given up. I'm going to sin anyway. We've got to bring something to appease God. He will not accept it when it's done like this. when there's no truth, no sincerity, no change, no true repentance, going through the motions, he sees right through it. But he wants you and I to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be clean, to put away the evil in our lives so God doesn't have to see it. And then he wants us to do works of righteousness, true judgments, helping the oppressed, helping the fatherless and the widow. God says to them, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing and obedient." And this is the important part, my beloved. Willing to confess, willing to change, willing to live righteously, willing to obey God's word. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, collectively as a nation, we have turned away from God. We permit the killing of unborn children in the womb. We ordain homosexual marriage in society, bringing the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah upon us. Our nation's leaders are corrupt. They're liars. They're deceivers. They don't have the good of the people in mind. They're oppressors. They make crimes, and they don't prosecute each other for it. There is very little rule of law that comes out of Washington. Where are the American people that are supposed to rule over us? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, our nation is sinking down into the New World Order, into communism, led by the Democrats. So expecting our nation to repent unto God as a nation, it may be past that point, not enough prayers going up, but individually, you can still repent before God of all your mistakes and your errors and your sins and your rebellions and your willfulness. We, you, me, it's still not too late. We can cry out to God for mercy as we're willing to be obedient, as we're willing to change. Now we go to the New Testament of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and onward. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." I'm sure you've heard the expression before. "I wasn't sorry for doing it. I'm only sorry that I got caught." That kind of sorrow works death, but godly sorrow acknowledges that I sinned. I was weak. I'm sorry, dear Lord. Help me to stop doing it. Help me to change. "For behold, this selfsame thing," verse 11 says, "that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all these things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter." Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, in the Corinthian church, there was a sin issue, and Paul wrote a letter, and in that letter he said, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle, which was the first epistle to the Corinthians," because this is 2 Corinthians 7, "for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." So when there's true repentance of sin, my beloved, there is sincerity of heart, honesty, the acknowledgement of our sins, the confessing of our sins. God will hear it. He wants to hear it, for he knows that we are but dust. He knows that we're fallen. He knows that sin dwells in our mortal body. Nothing surprises, but he wants an honest heart, not a rebellious heart, not a heart that revolts against him, not one who capitulates, who has given up. Even when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea in Matthew 3, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And on down in verse 6, "And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But the Pharisees and Sadducees, when he saw many of them come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones
to raise up children unto Abraham. The point being, my beloved, the Pharisees and Sadducees, it must be that they were going through the motions of self-righteousness, not worrying about sin, not being pricked of heart, just bringing their offerings in a religious ceremonial way, and they weren't confessing their sins with sorrow of heart. For as Paul said again, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. We are to do it. We are to confess to God, which means, my beloved, each one of us needs to have a regular practice or a habit of reviewing our own lives. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, Jesus covers it all, but we are required to confess it to Him, to shine light upon our own sins. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. So confess to the Lord your sins, your errors, your mistakes, your rebellions, your disobediences. If you are sincere, and if you are trying your best not to sin anymore, He will wash you. He will put you back in right standing, and you will continue your sanctified journey of salvation. But now, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is time once again to pray against the ongoing American Holocaust of abortion. Even though we have a small victory in Roe v. Wade, abortion is still legal in America, which it should not be. It's the shedding of innocent blood, and we need to ask God to put an end, to outlaw, to abolish, to not allow the killing of infants in the womb via abortion. Save the life of the mother. So Heavenly Father, those listening now, agreeing in prayer with me now, pray that you would turn the hearts of the people to reject abortion in any form, save the life of the mother. And Lord, to speak to our corrupt leaders, senators, congressmen, Supreme Court, and executive branch, Lord, that they would have a change of heart to see your point of view on this, that abortion kills children, stops a beating heart, tears them out of the womb, throws the body away. This is an abomination. 65 plus million babies killed in America, murdered, and we shall suffer the consequences of God's wrath at some future point. Have mercy, O God, have mercy. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, we know that only one man lived with no sin. First it was Adam and Eve, but then they sinned and passed it down to us. Infants do not sin. Most children do not sin. It is not imputed unto them. But once you become late teenage, early adult, you are responsible and accountable to your sins. And the only way to be cleansed, the only washing there is through the agency of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who died on our behalf and rose again from the dead in righteousness, so that we who have faith in Him might live and might be washed and might be forgiven. Otherwise, the wrath of God already abides on sinners who are not born again. No matter if they do good works or give money, no matter what, it's a sin issue. They must have their sins remitted before they can have a hope of heaven. And all the unregenerate heathens out there give Christians a hard time because we want to tell them the truth about what future they face. They accuse us of judging when we're only warning. We're trying to tell them what we've learned, and they are offended. Dear God in heaven, have mercy on all the people who are listening to this broadcast, to all your people who are backslidden. Draw them back unto the Lord Jesus, that they may resume their sanctification, that they may resume their spirit life, and to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and not be in danger of hell fire. Think on all these things, my beloved, and mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com. And remember, God sent His Son that you may live. Believe on Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. The time is short, my beloved. Come back to God before it is too late. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.